always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner. It's great to have you here this afternoon. Well, I've said it before and I've thought it before but not said it. Sometimes being a mom is really tough work. Not just the physical responsibilities, but the endless questioning of whether or not I'm doing it right or if there is a right way. Well, today I'm very grateful to have not one but two authors and writers on the program today. Two experienced moms who've discovered how to embrace personal mothering style rather than attempting to conform to a right way or a wrong way. They've written a fabulous book called Mothering from Scratch, Finding the Best Parenting Style for You and Your Family. Let me introduce you to them, and we will get started right away on the show. Kathy Helgemo started out as an English teacher. After graduating from Florida State University, she moved through various other jobs and landed in her current role as a freelance writer from home. She blogs with Melinda at motheringfromscratch.com. Her blog posts have been featured on TheistGirls.com, the Women of Faith website, and Parent Society's Mommy Blog Hot List. She and her husband, Ben, have four children and live in Port Charlotte, Florida. And Melinda Means is a writer, a speaker, and mom blogger at motheringfromscratch.com, as well as Women's Ministry Director at First Alliance Church in Port Charlotte, Florida. Her work has appeared in Focus on Your Child newsletters, CBN.com, In Touch Magazine, and Lifeway's Journey Magazine. She is mother to two teenage children and one daughter and one son. She and her family live in Punta Gorda, Florida. Welcome, Kathy and Melinda.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Well, I loved reading your book, Mothering from Scratch, because, of course, as a mom and as a type A control freak mom, I found that I related to many of those stories and wished I would have had this book about 10 years ago when I first started becoming a mom. So I'm glad you're writing it now. Well, how did you come up with that title, Mothering from Scratch, and what does that mean?
Well, Mothering from Scratch actually has a few meanings. One meaning is that Lamentations 3:23 is one of our favorite verses, because it talks about how God's mercies are new every morning. And I think that as moms, we really need to hear that message, that no matter what mistakes we've made as moms, that every morning we start from scratch. Even every moment with God, we can start from scratch and do things differently. And also, I think that as we talk to other moms, you know, some of the moms we talked to had great mom role models. Some of them had, you know, role models that they did not want to repeat, and sometimes in between. But really, no matter what kind of role models you've had, you are not your mother, and your children are very unique. So everybody really is starting from scratch when they, you know, become a mom. They have to figure out their own way for their own unique children, depend on God every step of the way as we kind of come, you know, go through that process.
Melinda, I noticed that you told a great story. It reminded me of my own, where you talked about just the necessity of having a teachable heart and thinking you had this mothering thing. I mean, I'm a mom. How tough can it be? And then understanding that you really needed to surrender something to God to have this teachable heart to become the mom that He wanted you to be. How did that play a role in you finally settling into that role?
Well, one of the things that I really struggle with, and I share about this a little bit throughout the book, is that that idea that of being a people pleaser, and that I always wanted to, I felt like I had to always perform to a certain standard in order to be acceptable and to be accepted. And when I got into the mothering thing, I just felt like I couldn't meet anybody's standards. I felt like I was always messing things up, and just getting to the point where I was able to admit to God, you know what, I cannot do this on my own, and I can't worry about what anybody else is thinking about the way that I'm parenting. I have to parent these unique children that you've given me, and you're going to have to show me how to do that. And you're going to have, I'm going to surrender my control, my idea of the way that it should be, and I need you to help me each day figure out how to best parent these children that you've given me. And that was a huge moment, and it was one that I kept having to relive over and over again because I'd want to take back that control and having to surrender over and over again, you know, this is not necessarily the way that I thought it would be, and I don't know what I'm doing, but you do, and I need you. So that was huge.
Well, and I find that a lot of women who ask me questions about becoming a mom or leaving the workforce after being in a role of leadership or really where you can have some control, that all of a sudden they become a mom and they're like, wait a minute, I have all these skills. I have all this wisdom that I've applied to my life for the last 20 years. And now none of it makes any sense because I can't seem to get my child to go potty in the toilet. And it's such a strange realization that you have no control over these little people when they are little, especially. Do you find that women, Kathy, are having that same realization? And well, your husband's the pediatrician, correct?
Yes. So, he's a pediatrician, and I also was his office manager for 3 years, so I got to see quite the array of moms come in. And I always said that if I could have a penny for every ounce of guilt and you know, feelings of incompetence that moms suffer from, I'd be a very rich woman. You know, I mean, the problem is that you're right. We feel these levels of competency and intelligence in all of these, you know, places in our life. And when we become moms, some of that applies, but then there's this great portion of it that is all a new learning curve. And we have the experience, a really wonderful experience of learning a new skill, a new set of skills, and it can be daunting, but, you know, it's really important to apply what you are good at and what is your strength to mothering as best you can and, you know, acknowledge your weaknesses, sure, but, you know, it can be very difficult when you have a vision of the kind of mom or what you believe a good mom is or can do. You know, finding that happy spot of this is who I am, this is what I'm great at, this is what I'm not so great at, and coming to peace with that within yourself is really quite a process. And I'm still going through that. I've been a mom for over 21 years. And, you know, it's still a daily struggle. Melinda and I were having a conversation this morning about this. You know, and so it's a growing process. It's a journey, and it's not an experience of waking up one morning and thinking you've got it all licked. And that's where God comes in and really expands our minds and our hearts in ways that only He can by giving us His mercy.
I noticed there is no chapter in the book that says, now you've got it all licked, let's move on to something else.
No, there's not. And I, you know, after talking to so many moms with, you know, regard to the book, we have yet to meet one. And I love talking to moms that are older than us and have older children because they have so much compassion. And like you, they said, gosh, I wish this book was around when my kids were little. So we feel very blessed that we've been able to get this book together and get this message out there. So,
well, what's funny is if the book were around, I probably wouldn't have read it because I didn't think that I needed it until I needed it so badly that I was overwhelmed and wouldn't have had the time to find it.
Right.
Why is that? What's behind that mommy guilt that we all seem to feel, no matter how many children we have, how many times we've been through it, whether we're first, whether we stay at home, whether we work at home, whether we work outside the home, whether we're married, whether we're single, we all have this guilt. What is that?
Well, I think that what I've realized over the years is that for me, and I don't think I'm alone, is that I kind of think that all of my kids' successes or all of my kids' failures, anything that they're struggling with, any mistakes they make are somehow directly tied back to something that I did or didn't do. You know, I mean, some things, maybe that's true. You know, we all do things that we wish that we had done differently with our kids that may have changed the outcome in some way, maybe not. Some things are completely irrational, but we kind of take that responsibility on ourselves that if our kids are happy, it's then we're doing something right. If they're not happy, then we're clearly doing something wrong. And the thing is that it goes back to that control thing we were talking about earlier. And I had to acknowledge that I did have some degree of control over my children, at least some influence, and, you know, obviously could give consequences and direction, but that they were their own little people, and they make their own choices. Mm-hmm. And that was a hard, in some ways freeing, and in some ways it's like, oh, it just increased my dependence on God and constantly asking him to be working through my kids in ways that I couldn't because he knew them so much better than I did. And I think that helped me with some of the guilt and also just knowing that I was not completely responsible. That God created them, he knew them better than I ever would, as much as we think we know our children, and that I had to every day turn them over to him. And, you know, God wants to do things for our children, but I think with motherhood, it is a huge opportunity for us as moms to grow closer to God and to grow in our character because we are so dependent on him with raising these kids and in a world that is increasingly difficult to raise children in.
So the heart of your book is showing moms how to mother the way that they are made, which might be different than how someone else is made. What do you mean by that?
Well, quite simply, when you look at how God has designed all of us, we have to remember that ultimately God's design is perfect. He created us. It doesn't make us perfect. In a sense, we are because we're who he uniquely chose to mother our kids. We have to understand that we can't improve on God's design. So this is the quandary. When we start looking at other moms and say, you know, why can't we follow those same mothering techniques? And, you know, I wish I could do that. That's where frustration and anxiety really start taking root in our hearts. However, when we really embrace who God made us to be, we find a much greater level of joy and security and a deeper relationship with him. And that acceptance of his design is really key when it comes to mothering the way that you're made. Once you embrace that and once you really surrender your heart to his wisdom and knowledge that he definitely put us with our children for a reason, then anxiety and frustration really can decrease.
You know what, we're going to chat more about that when we come back from a break. What I'd love to talk about is you mentioned a lot about how a woman's relationship with her own mother affects the way that she mothers her own children. Fascinating subject. Everyone has a mom. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. I'm talking today with Kathy Helgemo and Melinda Means, who've written a fabulous book called Mothering from Scratch. We'll be chatting with them more when we come back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. I'm talking with author Melinda Means and Kathy Helgemo today on their book called Mothering from Scratch, Finding the Best Parenting Style for You and Your Family. And we do have a few copies to give away. If you would like a copy of that, love for you to just head to our website. You can go to myfaithradio.com, click on the Connecting Faith show page, and you'll be able to enter your name and your email address in that way. We will draw for those books at the end of today's show. So, Kathy and Melinda, we were talking a little bit about moms, our own moms, and how that affects the way that we mother as well. How did you start to look at this subject, and what can we learn from it as moms trying to figure out what in the world we're doing?
Well, Joe, I really think it's important that we understand that that's where we all had started. Whether we've had positive or negative experiences with our moms, that's where all moms start. That's the yardstick, in a way, of where we're starting in our mothering. And whether we recognize it or not, our tendency really is to do what we know. Even those of us who desperately want to be different from the mom we had, if we've had a great relationship with our mom, we definitely choose those parts that that we want to emulate. But, you know, those things that we choose not to emulate, that's definitely a source of, can be a real source of anxiety for moms. And one of the things that Melinda and I experienced when we first met each other, or at least I noticed in Melinda, is that she had a real difficult time trusting her gut instinct when it came to mothering her kids. And I, after being friends for a little bit and her sharing with me that she had lost her mom a couple of years back, and, you know, she was going through a difficult time in her mothering, and she really didn't have someone to bounce those things off of, that explained a lot. It explained a lot about how she was feeling and how she was coping with those difficulties. And and as her friend, it helped me realize where I could help her learn to trust her gut a little bit better.
In the chapter where you're talking about our moms and how they affect our mothering style, you asked some questions at the end of the book that I found really fascinating to just look at, to start thinking about, well, why do we do the things that we do or say the things that we say? And how did our moms' rearing of us affect us? And I loved you were asking, what are some habits or tendencies you learned or inherited from your mom? And I was just trying to think, well, what are some of those things? I mean, there were two things about my mom that I tried to implement in my parenting. And then, of course, there are several things that I try not to implement in my parenting. And it really caused me to think about those things. My mom was such a great player. She played with us, and she was a musician. She is a musician. And so her love of music is just, it flowed through our home on a daily basis. And I love showing my children that and how effective that was in just teaching me to love music. So it was fun to answer those questions just for myself and think about, yes, there are some things that my mom did. And then, of course, I kept a snarky journal that says what not to do when I'm the mother and wrote things in it. So there's that, too. I know it's not very nice.
Wow.
So I told my kids that, and they said, we're going to keep one, too. So there we go. It all comes back. But
I love that.
Actually, they want to read it to see if I'm doing those things I said I wouldn't do. But why is it healthy or helpful, I guess, in looking at our own mothering styles to think about how our mother affected us as well?
Well, it's funny. I was just having a conversation with my mother last night, and you know, I always find it interesting what I feel, even at 44, and you know, that I feel like I need to call my mom over, you know, and sort of, you know, what do I find important enough to call her about, or something that I think she would like to hear that's going on, and you know, that stems back from when I was a kid. And you know, yesterday was St. Patrick's Day, and you know, that was a big deal in our family, and I was all too happy to call her and let her know what a celebration we had, and because that's what I grew up with. Those were the kinds of memories that were built for me, and I am so happy to call her and let her know that that legacy is continuing. And you know, how it affects me is that it's kind of a good foundation for where I want to build my mothering upon those traditions and those habits. And, you know, that's where we all start. And I love the fact that I can, you know, hear my mom's voice sometimes come out of me. It kind of cracks me up sometimes. But, you know, and that's a beautiful thing. I think that the what I'm going to do when I'm the mom journal is hilarious. I'm going to pass that along to my daughter because I think her list would be quite long. And, you know, we all do that. We all look back and we, parts of us wants to see a bit of a reflection of ourselves and parts of us want to see a unique creation, which we know is kind of a mixture of both. And God really does that for a reason, and we have to be open to what those teaching lessons and places are with our relationship with our mom now that we're the mother.
Right.
Well, and I also think that the things that I pass down to my children from my mom are sometimes like little things that I didn't even really realize that had impacted me so much as I was growing up. But one of the things that my mom definitely passed down to me was she had a very deep faith in God. And there's just little things like I cannot lay anything on top of a Bible. My mother would never lay anything on top of a Bible because that's God's word. And it just really instilled in me this respect for God's word, and it was something that I just naturally passed down to my kids, you know, when they grew up. And I remember she would always pray when she heard a siren, you know, an ambulance siren. And she'd say, you know, we need to stop and pray. My kids are now 18 and 15, and they still stop and pray every time they hear an ambulance going. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's now, you know, a kind of a family tradition that I'm sure they'll pass down to their kids as well. So I think moms need to realize that sometimes they are really making an impact and establishing a legacy even with the little things that they're doing, and that even if they haven't had a perfect relationship with their mom, that they can look at those things that are positive. There's always positive things that our moms handed down, and focus on those and how those might fit into their mothering, rather than necessarily just focusing on the negative.
Hmm. It's beautiful when I do get to think about those things, you know, a faith and fun and music that my mom passed down. And I talk about those things with my kids as well so that they know what grandma was like when I was the child. And mm-hmm. I might tell a few difficult child stories as well. But it's fun. It's fun to be able to talk to your kids about yourself as a kid. And mm-hmm. What a gift that we get to have those conversations with our children. Well, we have to take a quick break, and we will come right back. Much more to talk about with Melinda Means and Kathy Helgemo about mothering from scratch, finding the best parenting style for you and your family. We will be right back in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. If you're just joining us and you've heard a little bit of the conversation, but you want to make sure you hear the rest, you can always catch a podcast of our program on our website, myfaithradio.com. Go to Connecting Faith and you can click on the podcast there. Also, if you've been listening and you've heard about our book, Mothering from Scratch, that we're talking about today, finding the best parenting style for you and your family, and you say, I need that book, or I know someone who needs that book. Well, we have a few copies to give away and we'd love to put that in your hand. You can go right to our radio site at Connecting Faith and you can click on the little box there where you can enter your name and your email, and we will do a drawing for those books at the end of today's show. So I can hope that we can get one of those in your hands. We're talking to authors Melinda Means and Kathy Helgemo today about their book, Mothering from Scratch. And we were chatting a little bit about our own moms. And
One of the things that I love about this book is you really encourage new moms, especially, to not be isolated, but get together with other people who are not only new moms, but experienced moms as well, and how that can give us so much wisdom if we would just break out of this little isolation that we have, thinking we can do it all, and ask other people for help. Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, in the book, we talk about how moms have a tendency to isolate themselves. I mean, having a baby, we always say we're coming home with the baby. We don't generally say, oh, I'm going to leave and go out with the baby. There is sort of this nesting that happens. And one of the problems that we see is that moms have a tendency to really isolate themselves and have a difficult time reaching out for help. And that's just something that we have to push through as a culture and understand that this is not a Lone Ranger job. Being a mom is not an independent consultant job. It is a venture that we can only do with the help of other mothers around us and encouragement. So we talk a lot about this moms together approach, this approach to having moms that come together to help one another, encourage one another, and really help boost their confidence and their self-esteem when they're trying to figure things out with their children. We actually have a Facebook page that is a private Facebook page completely devoted to this, called Moms Together on Facebook. That we have various mentors that rotate and talk about various topics that are pertinent to where moms are today. It's so important that we look at other moms in our lives and for advice and for guidance. Sometimes we have a tendency to look at other moms as rivals rather than resources, and that is kind of a common phenomenon because we all want to think we're doing it right, and when we see somebody else who we think might be doing it right, there's a little bit of a spirit of competition that happens among moms. It's not very appealing to talk about it, but in our minds, you know, we kind of go through the little competition fear idea in our heads. I suffered from that a lot because I didn't have little babies that slept through the night. I thought that having a child that slept through the night by the age of 6 months, that mom might as well have, you know, won a marathon in her age category. I thought I was doing something incredibly wrong. And, you know, after four kids and seeing, you know, how unique and different children are and where you are in your parenting, I realized that had very little to do with me at this point. But back when, you know, I couldn't get my 3.5-month-old to sleep longer than 3 hours, I might as well have, you know, failed some miserable exam in college or something. That was a big source of failure for me. And we just really have to take our mother-to-mother relationships out of that category of competition. That's not what God has called us to be for one another. That's not what Titus 2 was talking about. And so we really talk about mentoring and finding those safe mentors through our lives and that really embody those characteristics that are going to help us as moms and guide us in that positive direction. And once we have a few of those, not a whole tribe of them, but a few that we let into our lives, it makes a substantial difference in our confidence as a mom. And so that's what we really encourage moms to do, really reach out to just one woman that they know that they want to either get to know or just have a comment about how they're parenting, you know, that compliments are usually the easiest way to get to know somebody. If you compliment them on something that they're doing, then it opens up a real conversation with women. And that's a good icebreaker for when women are trying to get to know each other, because a lot of women have a lot of struggles in just socially reaching out. But it's so vital. It's so vital to our mothering and how we view our kids and our lives on a daily basis.
Well, and it seems like it would be good for the person who's being asked as well, because they get to hear, oh, I've done something well, and people are recognizing it, and oh my goodness,
right.
Someone said something nice. My kids, you know, they're babies. They're not saying well done, but how great to have another mom say, hey, I noticed that you're able to have makeup on when you get to church. How do you do that? And,
yeah.
And then to have a good laugh and to have that conversation. But for some reason, I just tend to look at that woman in church and think, I wonder how she does that. And you're saying, hey, go talk to her.
Absolutely.
Right. Exactly. Because not only, like you said, it makes them feel better, and they also get the joy of being able to use their gifts and the things that God has given them strength in, and they're able to use those. And there's always a tremendous amount of joy when you can use the things that God has given you, the strengths that God has given you, to help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's another benefit of that. And also just thinking about, I always thought, and I think Kathy, you know, and I have talked about this many times, is that I always kind of thought my mentor would be this grandma type, this wonderful grandma type who would show up and just impart all her wisdom to me. And I know that there are many, many wonderful Titus II grandmotherly types out there who do that. I just never found one in my life. For whatever reason, I think a lot of it is just that we live in a culture where everything is busy and fast-paced, and it's just hard to find the time to spend together. And that really discouraged me for a long time. Not that God didn't bring those kind of people into my life, but they always seemed to be just for very short windows of time. And I had to finally just get over that and say, okay, maybe the Titus II woman that I thought was going to come into my life doesn't look the way that I pictured. She can be any age. She can be a mom who's the same age as me, but maybe has kids that are a little older than mine, so she's already been through this stage that I'm going through with my kids. I talk in a book about how I actually asked a mom who was younger than me, who was really having a great connection with my teenage daughter, and I was really struggling with my daughter at that stage. It was just going through a really hard time in our relationship. And I noticed that she seemed to be really able to connect with her. And so I just asked her, do you have any tips for me? How can I better connect with my daughter? And she was more than happy to do that. You know, this was 3 or 4 years ago, and she still tells me that she prays for my daughter almost daily.
Mm-hmm.
So we never know what, just taking that one little step of vulnerability, what it can open up for us and for our kids.
Well, another subject that you talk about in your book along that same line is that conversation that you really want to have with other mothers, just about how they are able to not only mother, but not think, or how do I phrase that? Not to think about their future as being over. And in fact, one of your chapters said, good news, your future won't spoil. And sometimes as moms, it does seem like we are putting everything that we have worked for aside in order to care for these wonderful children that God has given us. And yet we're not quite sure what the future holds. And you write quite a bit about that. And this idea is kind of countercultural, that pursuing personal mentors at our family's expense is what we should be doing. And yet we need to have those conversations with mom. What has been with other moms? What has been your experience around this subject, and what questions are women asking?
We've noticed that that is probably the hottest topic of our book right now, because we're, you know, Melinda and I feel really passionately about this, and we were never told that when we were raising little ones, that, you know, that it was okay to not have it all the time. Mm. And that having it all isn't all it's cracked up to be. And we really wanted to encourage moms that, you know, the season of mothering is really quite short. You know, it might not feel like it's short at the time. You know, I had 4 kids under 9. And during the season of having those 4 under 9 and feeling like I was never going to see dinner hit the table before 8 o'clock at night, that was really difficult. But I can look back now and see how God was really using that time for me to, you know, become closer to Him, become more dependent on Him, and less dependent on my own strength, if you will. It really was a humbling experience. And, you know, in order to really understand that, it takes women that are kind of a little bit on the other side of it to encourage moms of young ones and moms with kids that are still in school and let them know, hey, listen, your intellect, your talent, all of those things are not going anywhere. But these kids are really, really precious, and they're small for a small amount of time. And just the hope of knowing that, you know, those universities, those business ventures, those all those things are not moving. They will be there when you're ready and when your family is ready to embark on those things. That is great, great hope, because then it allows you to enjoy the space that you're in motherhood. And, yes, it's a very controversial topic, but it's one that we're finding women are really, really hungry to hear. And
I think that chapter has gotten definitely the most feedback of any of the chapters in the book. And, you know, we've been hearing from moms where they're saying, this, like, changed my whole attitude about mothering, because I was feeling so anxious about wanting to do and be all these other things. And this gave me the permission to relax a little bit and say, okay, I can do those things. Maybe right now is not the right time. And I found, and I know Kathy has found, that when we pursue those things that we think are going to make us happy, but they're at the expense of our family, there's really not any joy in it. Because when we know that our kids or our families, our husbands, our families are suffering because of our own things that we're doing and our ambitions that are God-given, but the timing, for whatever reason, at that point is not right, when God is leading us to say no and we say yes, and I've done it a few times, I've never found any fulfillment in it. It never gave me the kind of payoff that I thought it was going to. So
you write one sentence that I circled in your book says, when the time is right, God will often move more boldly and more miraculously than we ever thought possible. Just as some encouragement to give women who are thinking, well, it's got to be now. Oh, my kids are in school now, so I need to do something now. Or now my kids are teenagers, I have more time. I need to do something now. And you're saying that may not be the case, and it's different for every person.
Absolutely. And then when the time is right, all that time that you're thinking is wasted because you're not pursuing all those things, when the time is right, God can He can open doors that you never thought possible, and sort of make up for that time that you think that you've lost. That's no barrier to Him. And I think Kathy and I have both found that the doors will open much easier when the time is right.
And you both have been able to find places, opportunities to write at different stages of your life, at different stages of your mothering, correct?
Oh, yes. I mean, yeah, Melinda has some very interesting experiences with that, because she did some rather I'll just say less than glamorous writing when she was trying to make writing a career when her kids were little. Melinda, I think they might find that really funny if you share that.
Yeah. Well, I've always been a writer. I mean, that's what I've always wanted to do. I can never really remember wanting to do anything else. And so when my kids were little, I needed to make some extra money, but I wanted to have some flexibility, so I was able to do that from my home. But, I mean, I really wanted to write more for what was in my heart, Christian topics and Christian publications, but that really was not where my opportunities and where the money was at the time, which we needed with a growing family. And it definitely honed my craft. The more you do something, the more, the better you get at it. So I wrote newsletters for industrial pump companies. I wrote on cardiac stents and cataract surgery, all kinds of strange things. And I remember writing in my prayer journals over and over and over again, God, when is it going to be time for me to actually write something that I want to write about? And something that seems, more reflective of my heart. And that did not happen until I think my oldest was in sixth grade when I finally felt God kind of give me that green light to go to a Christian writing conference. And that's when I began to start doing some writing that was closer to my heart. But there were many years of struggle and just not really feeling like I was doing what my heart wanted to do. But it was what was best for my family at the time. So.
Well, you list a couple of things that women can do today to move toward their dream. I'd love for you to talk on that when we come back from this break, just to give people some encouragement and some tips on maybe some little things they could be doing now so that they feel like they'll be prepared for when God does open those doors. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Connecting Faith. If you're listening and you say, I'd love a copy of that book, make sure you enter your name and your email address on our website at myfaithradio.com. Go to Connecting Faith. You'll be able to enter it there, and we'll do a drawing for those books at the end of the show. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon, talking with authors Melinda Means and Kathy Helgemo today on their book, Mothering from Scratch, Finding the Best Parenting Style for You and Your Family. And Melinda and Kathy, we were chatting about that angst that mothers sometimes feel to be doing something in addition to their mothering, so that once their children are gone, they will have some things to do. And I know it's something that I've felt, and it's something that a lot of my friends have felt. I feel like I'm having that conversation with mothers who are brand new, who just had a baby, and people who have teens who have just moved on to college, and anywhere in between. This seems to be just a very real subject, and it's nice to be able to have those conversations with moms who are struggling in that area. You offer some great tips in your book about what women can do today that would help them move toward whatever that dream is, or maybe even to figure out what that dream is. Can you offer some of those?
Well, before the break, we were talking about how we can, if we have professional aspirations, that, we can learn as much as we can during the time when we're waiting for that goal to come to fruition. But, I want to focus a little bit on the dreaming aspect and giving women, giving moms that real permission to just dream. And one of the dreams that I had in my heart was kind of a materialistic dream that I didn't think was ever going to happen. And, having the kids when I did was that the ability to travel. That seems like a completely impossible dream upon dreams to actually go to places that I really wanted to go to. And I planned a trip in my mind and in paper for a very long time to go to Italy last. I've had that dream in my mind, and I really never thought I was going to get there. And last year, my husband and I finally were able to go, but it was something that I had been brewing in my heart and in my mind as a place of pilgrimage that I wanted to go to. And God honored that. It absolutely happens. And it might not be Italy for someone. It might be, you know, going and experiencing something else that they feel that they have either missed out on or didn't have the chance to do before they had children. Again, those places are not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So you have to understand that, you know, it's okay to dream. It's okay to plan. It's okay to pine away for something because, you know, eventually these times will come in your life when those opportunities make so much more sense. It would not have made any sense whatsoever for me to go abroad and do anything when my kids were little. But now that my kids are older, it makes perfect sense, and it's really added a lot to my life, and I really appreciate it. I'm not sure I would have appreciated it as much as I appreciate it now. So, you know, for anybody out there that thinks that they have a big grandiose dream of doing something, keep the dream. It's fine. Just, you know, build a binder and start adding a folder in your computer and putting things away for that time when that dream can be let loose in your life. And working toward the anything that you need to do to prepare yourself for it. And I've seen that over and over and over again with moms in their, you know, yes, they're in their 40s and 50s sometimes, but sometimes they're in their 20s, and it's something that they've dreamt about since they were a little girl that they've wanted to do. And so, you know, keep dreaming. Don't think your dreams can, you know, that they just poof, go away when you have a baby. That's just not the case. You know, it's just very important. It's very important for the health of our family, for us as the moms to not feel like we've just kind of given up on doing things because we have children, and that's not the case. We're doing the most important job there is, but we have to understand that our dreams and ambitions and goals have their own timing, and God has their timing, and we have to believe that He will do what He needs to do, when He needs to do it, that's in everyone's best interest. And that is a hopeful message that I hope everyone embraces.
That's right. No, our kids have gotten quite a kick out of watching our book dream come to fruition. it's been interesting. So, you know, sometimes they try to act like it's no big deal, but I know I see that they're proud of that. You know, they like seeing that their moms are going out there and, you know, hopefully making a difference, and that gives them confidence that they are able to do the same. So,
well, our time has gone way too fast, and we have about 2 minutes left. I'm wondering if one of you would be willing to just pray for those moms who are listening today and maybe thinking that they're not enough. Can you just pray for them, and I'll say goodbye then after that.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You for this time, for this privilege that we've had to encourage moms. And, Lord, I just pray right now for that mom who is feeling like she's messing it all up and that she's not cut out for this, Lord, because I have been that mom. Lord, I just pray that right now through Your Holy Spirit that You would give that mom a peace and a confidence that You will give her exactly what she needs to parent the children that You have blessed her with, Lord, and that she may not be enough. We are never enough, but that You are, Lord, and that through You, she will be able to be the mom that You have created her to be, Lord. And I just pray that You would just help her as she goes throughout her day, Lord, to just walk in that confidence that that You are beside her each step of the way as she parents her children. And I just ask all these things in Your name. Amen.
Thank you so much for praying for all those moms who are listening today. And if you'd like to learn more information about Kathy Helgema or Melinda Means or experience any of their writing or blogging, you can go to their website at motheringfromscratch.com. We'll also have a link to that on our website at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening today, and have a wonderful weekend.